Check, check, checkity check.
I've been in this town so long, so long to the city. I'm fit with the stuff to ride in the rough. And sunny down snuff, I'm all right by the hero's end.
Should we do the intro real quick?
Sure. Hey everybody, I'm Jason.
And I'm Walker. Welcome to Jaywalking with Jason and Walker.
The podcast about us or us. That's weird. The way that you said I'm Walker just now reminds me of the way you used to mock that character on Heroes that always went, stealing a lie. If you were like, I'm Walker.
Well, what was so frustrating about that was it was the character who had, like, psychic abilities but didn't know how to control them, and his wife just never, like, believed in him. And I don't remember why he was stealing, but he wasn't stealing.
Right.
But, yeah, she was like, what are you doing? Stealing and lying? Matt, you're better than that.
She was also, like, a total harpy, but for some reason he loved her anyway.
I mean, she was great at the end of the day.
Was she?
No.
Yeah, she was shitty during the whole day.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I have like a topical intro I'm going to try to do.
Okay.
So, you know, it's Jaywalking. We're back at you after a long absence. Too long, some would say.
Yeah, a lot of people have been saying that.
And the day is April 13th, 2011, and as all you political-oriented folks know, the government has unveiled their new budget, and so I'm sad to say that Jaywalking is no longer receiving government funding. So more than ever now, we're going to be counting on you, the listeners, to pitch in. So a couple bucks, $5, $10.
I think there's a donate link on the blog, so go ahead and you can use PayPal, whatever you can spare.
Did you hear how I slipped in my Ira Glass impression there, though?
Yeah, that's a ref. That counts as a ref. And not only that, but I would like to say to the listeners that just the bandwidth alone to deliver this podcast to you costs us... Well, we haven't had a fiscal year yet, but we're projecting that it's going to cost us quite a bit, so maybe you could...
We're so deep in the red.
Help us. Help us. So just like, because this is a good seg, speaking of money, I'm going to say what I just said to Walker a second ago when he said, how you doing? And I said, not so good. One, I'm starving. Two, I've been starving every goddamn night this week. Enough so that Kelly Clancy said to me last night, hey, buddy, you're looking pretty thin. You're going to need to start eating.
Whoa.
That's Kelly Clance. And then...
we should probably say Kelly C, though.
Sorry, that's right.
Everybody. We need to respect her anonymity.
Kelly C, listeners. And two, I just got an email from HR at the university. And they said that they overpaid me by almost a grand, by $995.13, and they're taking it back. Even though, according to my records, they're paying me exactly what they said they were, which is a pitiable amount already for a graduate researcher. Funnily enough, too, that email actually says, from 7/1/10 to 12/31/10, we underpaid you by $83 a month, so that's about $500, and we're going to pay that to you. And then right after that, it said, but for the last 5 months, we've been overpaying you by more than that amount, so we're going to go ahead and take money back. So firstly, I'm just like, why the fuck did you tell me about the amount you underpaid me that's going to get dwarfed by the amount you overpaid me? And two, give me my money back, you know? Like, this totally sucks. But so that's the first kind of, and that's good because I feel like this is the type of, you know, this is jaywalking at its core. Me telling Walker what's going on. And then Walker said, sorry, hey, you know when I used to work at Spirit, the number one Halloween superstore? And then we started recording. So
yeah,
you can pick it up there.
Well, I guess I just wanted to say I relate to your plight. But maybe you can take a page out of my book on this one, because I was employed. I was a new resident of Berkeley, California at that time, doing what I could, Jason.
Right.
And
that's all any of us could do.
Yeah, and Pete's Coffee and Tea weren't exactly covering the bills, and so I picked up a seasonal job right. over at Spirit, the number one Halloween superstore in right. the country, by the way. That's in the country.
That's amazing.
And that was a super cake job because it was like, I mean, all you did was sort of stand around and like organize Halloween masks and tell the high school students that there couldn't be more than three of them in the store at the time.
Wait, why is that? What's that about?
Because they stole all the time.
They can't have more than three.
Also, the employees were totally cleaning that place out, myself included. I walked away from that place with a smoke machine, a strobe light, and a skull-shaped beer bong. All on the company dime. And in addition to that, at the end of my employment there, they sent me a letter after my last paycheck that said they'd overpaid me like $140. I mean, this was like a part-time job at the Halloween store. I wasn't like raking it in there, so that was probably like a paycheck.
Right.
And, you know, they never got that money back. So I guess that's what I'm saying is take a page out of my book, evade this collection.
Right. This is the thing that annoys me too is that when I worked at Wash U, this identical thing happened to me. And the reason that you can't evade is because the same people that are writing me will be paying me my next paycheck. So it's just like they will just pay me less and, you know, to do justice in their mind. But one thing that might work is that it says, we've overpaid you, we need to get it back. With your authorization, we can recover the overpayment. So what I'm thinking is that I'm going to write back and I'm being like, I'm afraid I can't authorize you to recover your payment because it sucks too much for my life. Go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and deny you that authorization and see if that works. I mean, I feel like that's the closest I can do to what you did exactly.
Well, and the other advantage that I had is I was sort of like, do I really need to be rehirable to Spirit, the number one Halloween retailer in the country? Right. I sort of figured that had come, that chapter of my life had closed.
Come to a close.
Yeah, so you need to continue to stay in good with these employers.
Yeah, but it's shocking to me though that two universities, and that HR is just kind of annoying at universities, but you know, that's not interesting, just bottom line is this is shitty.
Well, I'm sorry for your plight, but I think we've generated a good couple minutes of content out of it.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's what we're about, creating content for the listeners.
Yeah, and taking our sorrows and spinning them into gold.
Right, exactly. So a couple points I'm gonna just kick it right along here, if that's okay with you. We don't have any features coming up yet, right? But so one of the points is to address the long lull for the listeners, because we had some interesting conversations, and anybody that gets the New Yorker will be able to follow along in the story this week that I'm reffing. We've been off our game for a little while for one reason or another, and when we were talking to a certain superfan, Kenny R., about it, when Walker was mentioning it to her, she said, you owe something to the listeners, right? And this is just interesting philosophically, because I've had this conversation with a couple people. For example, there's the article in the New Yorker this week about this guy who writes fantasy novels, and his fans have become turned on him in a very disgusting and dark manner. All their adoration turned instantly to hatred because he hasn't finished the fourth installment of this crazy multi-thousand page epic. And they hate him now, and all the message boards are kind of like, finish the book, George. Don't die before you finish the book. You owe us this book. You owe me. I've never met you, but you owe me. And, you know, similar backlash happened to Trey when Fish broke up. You know, a lot of the fans turn kind of ugly, and it's like, in their minds, Trey owes them to trot around the country playing You Enjoy Myself over and over and over. And, like, he's shorting them on the, what he owes
can
them.
Can I play devil's advocate, though, for one second?
Ahead, go for it. Jump in here.
The point Kenny actually raised was that we've been promising the bonus episode in every episode so far. And in the last episode, I'm pretty sure that we said, yeah, well, you know, the bonus episode is going to come out about a week after this flops. And she asked me totally casually, just like, oh, you know, is the bonus episode coming out this week? And I was like, oh, no, probably not. And she said, I think if I remember correctly, what she said was, you can't just tell people you're going to do something and then not do it. And I said, watch me.
God, well, so what's going to come out now, this or the bonus episode? Because I thought all the material for the bonus episode was there and just had to be edited. Or is
that is a talking point that I wanted to discuss. Maybe let's get back to that, though, because piggybacking on your point about...
You're going to want to piggyback on it.
I'm going to want to just piggyback right along this ride. the one thing I would say is that, well, first of all, let's reflect for a moment. What is now known among fans and I think detractors alike, what is now known as the original Jaywalking trilogy has come to a close. This is at 4. Like many great trilogies before it, the third installment was overstuffed and perhaps lackluster compared to the previous two efforts.
I listened to it again. I don't think I would call it lackluster.
But
there was a lot of detractors came online about that ep.
Well, and you saw Spider-Man 3, right?
Right, sure.
The first two movies are like perfect superhero movies. The third one, you're like, why is there two villains? Why isn't Venom's tongue like it was in the comic books?
Right, a lot of people said that.
Right, and they were right. And I think it's not that there wasn't good stuff there. It's just that we didn't have the tongue, and we did have the Sandman.
X-Men was similar. X-Men 1, great intro. X-Men 2, perfect superhero movie. X-Men 3... just fell short of what it could have been by quite a bit, you know?
Right, but that's because they changed directors on that one. But that's...
Right, they should have paid Bryan Singer whatever it took to keep him there.
Exactly.
Idiots.
I know.
Sick idiots.
But I think, though, that the listeners, I get the sense they felt like they weren't being taken seriously.
Right.
And they've responded with the only weapon they have, which is total indifference to us at this podcast.
Right, so, that weapon is effective.
Yeah, we hear you people.
Yeah, we are running this podcast for adoration.
And you know what you won't hear us doing on episode 4? Listing stats of episode 3. I will say there was a drop-off.
Right. Wait, significant, we're not gonna list stats?
Well, we lost about, the stat I'll list is I think we lost about 35% of our listenership.
Oh, shit.
But... gained one listener
from my Twitter feed. Right. Well, so to the listeners, Walker has started a Twitter feed. What's your handle there?
Well, just so you know, too, we're sagging into something that I did write on my notes here of things we should talk about. There's a note that says Twitter. I do want to talk about Twitter.
Okay.
But guys, if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me, I'm dropping truth bombs. And my Twitter handle is @OmarDon'tScare, which is the best pop culture reference of all time. There, I said it.
Okay. So whether or not that's the case, listeners, you can follow Walker at @OmarDon'tScare. Mm-hmm. I guess there's a hash in front of that or something. I'm not up.
There's
on
an @.
But I did help co-compose some tweets with Walker earlier in the week. We kicked around ideas, and then firstly, I was kind of like, you're on Twitter now. And then I was like, Walker, so when Walker described, this is to the listeners, when Walker described his purpose was to get enough followers that love his clever tweets that they would surf on over to his podcast. Like, hey, if this guy's tweets are this good, let's listen to his podcast. Then we get more listeners. And that plan has been successful for exactly one listener who listened entirely. He doesn't know us at all. This listener that we picked up, but listened entirely because of Walker's clever tweets. So 100% success on that mission.
That's Yeah, me too. I mean, I was shocked and awed. And yeah. Before I get too crazy into Bragtown, I will point out I only have 33 followers. But somebody got on board. And listeners, actually, this is a note to listeners. If you're on Twitter, okay, well, if you're not on Twitter, get on there and follow me. And if you are, follow me. And if you are or aren't and even have no intention of getting on Twitter, email Jason at jaywalkingpodcast@gmail.com and harass him into getting a Twitter account, because he has helped me compose some of these tweets, these classic tweets.
Yeah, they were clever celebrity hybrids.
Celebrity hybrids. There was a few really good...
About the breakup of what's his name?
Well, Jason, I happen to have my Twitter feed open right now. Okay. And under the hashtag of celebrity hybrids, one that Jason came up with that I thought was amazing was Tom Al Yorkovich.
Right, that is amazing.
My favorite one that I came up with was James Kanye West.
Ooh.
And I'm just going to read a couple other tweets here. There's also...
this podcast has devolved into Walker reading his own tweets. In an earlier podcast, I chastised you for Kardashian Corner being you reading Kim Kardashian's tweets. And now it's that you're reading your own tweets.
This is a feature we'll call Twitter Twarner. And it's where I read my own tweets. And if you chuckle at these...
Walker's Twitter Twarner?
If you chuckle at these, then you need to get on Twitter, because I'm dropping stuff like this left and right. Here's my most recent one that I was very proud of. Opening a discount produce store called Tempted by the Fruit of Another. Might get sued by Squeeze, but it'll be worth every penny. And that's just the kind of fun we're having over there on Twitter. So get on there, retweet me. I don't really understand how it works, but I am on there and I'm writing things.
Right. I think, and once we get, if at this rate, if 33 followers and one listen to a whole one of the podcasts, like, it's not going to be long before.
I have 99 followers and three people are listening to the podcast.
Yeah. And then not only that, but me and Walker have set a goal. Once we're getting 100 original listeners, that's when we start to fire up the merch. So. In addition to your donations, which, as you heard earlier, you should give us, I guess, we should set it up so they can just text a number and then we get a donation from that.
Yes.
I mean, I guess everyone, donate to the tsunami relief effort first, but then you might as well, you're already texting donations. Text us a donation.
But in a time of disaster, isn't laughter the most important thing?
in this case, no, I would say no. The answer to that is a resounding no.
Like, I agree with you.
The most important thing is, I guess, resources.
And, this is no time for laughter.
Right.
Before we completely abandon addressing the absence, do you think it's overboard to say to the listeners that, look, don't ever expect jaywalking to come out, every Wednesday or something?
Right.
But I'm on board for shooting for, a every couple weeks release.
Yeah, listeners, this is a new day. We're going for bi-monthly. And maybe me and Walker should hash this out right now. I think we basically hashed it. We hashed out an epic chat today. But, me and Walker, as Peter L. pointed out, in a address to the title of the last podcast, which was Duality of Nature, that actually, let me read this.
Was actually my favorite blurb.
Oh, shit. I wish Facebook had a way to search, because...
Here, hold on. I'm logged on right now.
I'm going to go way back, and I don't want to get this quote wrong. Oh, here we go. Where did he put this at? Was it on your site?
I think it was on my wall, yeah.
Oh, I got to find it on your wall.
I mean, I post a lot, so you're going to have to go back...
Way back.
I've got a strong Facebook. I'm maintaining a strong Facebook as well as Twitter presence right now.
I know. Your online presence is, it's crucial to a lot of what we do.
Is it?
Yeah, I would say so.
Well, thanks.
I don't like your tendency to exhibit your Hufflepuff pride online.
Why?
Because you shouldn't have any pride. Like Cindy says, there's no reason for you to have pride in that.
Yeah, Sydney doesn't know what the hell she's talking about.
Doesn't she?
No.
Sydney, write into jaywalkingpodcast@gmail.com and tell Walker that you do know what you're talking about.
Sydney, your emails will be thrown into the trash where they belong.
Sydney, no they won't. I've got a filter set up so that they get forwarded to me before they can be trashed.
Here it is.
Right. What's it?
Hold on.
All this fuss just so we can get a quote correct. How about this? Any listeners that work at Facebook, add a search feature so that you can search your own freaking wall. Like, who the F are you? It's 2011. I should be able to search my online content, Facebook.
What's weird about Facebook is it never gets better. It only gets worse.
Yeah, it's good. Like, they, like, every once in a while they're like, let's add no features but switch up where all the current features are.
Right, let's add a thing where now you're more limited in what you can do.
Right.
I think what he said, if I remember right, and Peter, you, if you're listening, you can write in and amend the quote or give us a new blurb if you want. But I think what he said was that you are the sobering yin to my raging yang.
Yeah, he said that's a good title for the episode because he's always thought of Jason as the sobering yin to Walker's – was it raging yang?
I believe raging was the word he used.
Right.
Which raging, so, the only other thing I can think of that's described as raging is a boner, usually. But, so I think right, he might have been calling me a boner.
Right. Right. So, but anyway, the bottom line is that, as everybody knows, I mean, as basically all great collabs, friendships, bands, you know, what have yous, political alliances, nation states have had throughout the ages is, you know, you can't just, if everybody's the same, you don't get anywhere. You gotta have some duality of nature or, you know, exactly that. So anyway, and then the people that, if you know us, know that my personality is distinct from Walker's, you know. Mine is full of neuroses and not even, something like neuroses. Something like, different from neuroses in the sense that describing it as neuroses overall would make me go, would make me add a bunch of asides to like subtly be like, but I don't want to commit to the word neuroses
right,
for what I'm describing about my personality.
It's what, it's an insane lack of commitment. Not right, just like, oh, he, you know, has trouble committing to like a political right, party or like right, a long-term relationship. It's like, I'm hungry. He's saying, I'm hungry. Jason, when we lived together, I heard you complain of your starvation at least once every 3 days, which I think is when you would finally eat, because you couldn't decide whether or not, not what to eat, but whether or not to eat.
Right. And a lot of times I will lament, oh my God, I'm starving. Am I starving?
Right.
How could I be sure? If I,
what is starving?
How could I have access to that knowledge? How could I claim that? Like, what kind of arrogant person would claim access to that type of knowledge about themselves? So anyway, that's
a, you know, non-lunatic that's, is the answer right, to that question.
And, but the point is that that's in stark contrast to Walker's bombastic confidence and bombastic, maybe not confidence, but kind of just like, I think of his psyche as kind of an extension of the way that he moves about, which if you've ever seen him, is to kind of just flail his limbs. Like, like if he's walking across the room for something, or for example, if he was to be like, this glass of water I'd like a drink from, he just kind of fling his limb into its vicinity. Like,
I think last time I saw you in person, you were giving me a hard time and you said that I seem to have some dim idea of how to propel myself from one place to another.
Yeah, just
which was hurtful and hilarious.
Cartoonish, like bombastic movements, but I mean, I would say the main dichotomy is that, like, in even those, you know, metaphors for the rest of our psyches, that like Walker doesn't second guess himself, and I do second guess myself, and Walker's there, and I'm kind of in the ether somewhere. That kind of conflict is what great stuff comes out of. But there is that conflict, and the bottom line of this, listeners, is that Walker is demanded a schedule for jaywalking, and kind of I was content with the way that it was going, where Walker kind of nags constantly about dates, and I go, well, I don't know if I guess so, and then if he'd catch me when I had enough time, I'm like, yeah, let's do it, and it was good to have Walker pushing it along, but I was happy to maintain my kind of in the ether stance about actual dates and times, because I don't like to don't like to get nailed down to anything.
And listeners, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Walker, don't try to change Jason. Don't right. don't take away the Jasonness of Jason. Listeners, nothing could be further from my agenda. All I'm saying is that in addition to running my own life, which I feel inept at most of the time, it's also hard for me to determine Jason's schedule for him and schedule things according to that. So that's – and I think Jason, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I do feel that we arrived at an understanding, I hope.
I think that's absolutely true, and I think that we came to a good compromise, which is the dates and times in particular not set out, but there's a strong goal – for a bi-monthly situation, which can maybe each double week could be arranged tentatively at the beginning of that double week portion. We get the listeners back on board because content's coming out regularly. We get ourselves in the right mindset because we're like, this is a thing. This is a creative outlet that we dedicate our energies to. And in general, you know, I think things are looking up.
Absolutely. And I think also the main reason that this is worth pointing out is it's just good for the listeners to know that we, in quite a literal sense, put not only our individual livelihoods, but our relationship with each other on the line right. every time we get together to bring you one of these things.
Right.
Because
right.
you just hear the fun, witty banter. You don't hear the blood, sweat, right. and tears.
Right.
No one can hear blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah, I mean that's the fucking thing is that like on top of them not knowing like the almost insurmountable technical obstacles which we have to surpass to get this
nearly
to listeners,
big yeah, God, not then, completely,
and then the fucking you know the amount of like mining of yourself that you have to do to get wit and get on point, and then the vast amount of time editing like. But they don't even think on top of the emotional depths that you have to plumb in mm-hmm. order to make a podcast as raw as ours.
Yeah.
That's for goddamn sure. Nobody thinks about that. You know?
I had one idea before, and this is it's sort of a weak segue, but right. still talking about original trilogies coming to a close.
Sure.
Let me ask you this, Jason.
Okay.
I'm going to make this statement in the form of a question to you.
Right.
What happened in the Star Wars universe, or rather in the chronology of the way Star Wars movies were released? We got a classic trilogy, just like with Jaywalking.
Uh-huh.
Fans wanted more, so what did Mr. George Lucas give them?
The prequels.
Exactly. Now, we have been promising this bonus episode. I haven't told Jason that I was planning on doing this.
Oh, geez.
But since I'm editor, I could sort of do whatever I want.
Right.
I was thinking, you guys, the fans all know our beloved email address, jaywalkingpodcast@gmail.com. Right. It's an email address they've received emails from,
right.
written emails to.
Sure.
But what's the history there? How was it set up? You know, how did it come to be? Well, we have a Jaywalking exclusive for you.
Oh my God, no way.
The first attempt at recording the first episode of Jaywalking included a lengthy segment of us setting up that email address. And I think we should, as a bonus episode teaser, go ahead and splice that in right now. We're going to pad out the episode. What do you think?
Oh, it sounds great. A bonus episode teaser. So it's a teaser for an episode, which is kind of like a short version of an episode in itself.
This is going to make the bonus episode shorter?
This is like an edited trailer for a short film inside of a feature film that you're already watching.
Right. Wes Anderson just is going to be taking...
Rolled over in his not grave.
I was going to say rolled over in his grave, but I didn't know how to substitute that for someone who's alive.
Say rolled over on his giant pile of money.
On his pile of indie money.
Right.
So,
his pile of indie cred.
So with your permission, I'm going to say we'll splice that in. This is the long-awaited origin story of the email address jaywalkingpodcast@gmail.com.
also, we should, you know, we should have an email address, like you said, dedicated to this, so we can pose questions to the listeners. What do you guys think about that? You know, like that type of thing.
Yeah, I can go ahead and set that up right now. Maybe one thing we could chat about, is what should the email address be? Because, as you know, at this point in the game...
How will they respond?
What's that?
How will they respond to that?
Well, no, this is the first topic for me and you to discuss. Because as you know, at this point in the game, most of the clever emails are... most of the clever names for emails are taken, right? Like,
what about bonerhead at gmail.com?
What? It's not going to be descriptive at all of the podcast? Like, my first... My first suggestion would have been jaywalking.
Yeah, jaywalking is probably taken. I would think jaywalking podcast would be a good.
Jaywalking is not available.
How are we repeating this?
Jaywalking is not available. So how about jaywalking podcast?
I just said that.
Good call, because it's available. What do you want for a password? Should we tell the listeners the password?
We can edit this part out.
We'll edit this out.
We should leave this totally inane banter in, but just really like loudly bleat the password.
How about the first five numbers of the Fibonacci sequence and the word fib?
No. That's not a good password.
No, that's great. I don't see why.
How about
okay.
Universal.
I'll go 69. I always remember 69 at the end because it has a lot of what do you call it? There's
sexual connotation.
Yeah, right, exactly. So
maybe that should be our first topic, Jason. Like, have you ever done the 69?
Right. Okay, but hold on. First we have to choose a security question. Let's go. Your first teacher's name.
Who was the first person you 69'd with, and then it will remind us of our password.
Oh, good idea. You can write your own question. Who was the? Who was the first person you 69'd with? And then should we use mine or yours?
Let's do yours.
I'll have to actually think about it. Should I say her name on the air?
Don't act like you've 69 with so many people.
Should I say her name on the air?
Yeah, I mean, are we going to include this whole, like, getting a password?
So it was the second girl.
Who knows? Who knows when we listen back to this where the gold will be?
It was the second girl I was ever with.
It's all about Remy.
Oh, I can never remember if her last name is B-E-R-G or B-U-R-G.
You pig.
Whatevs. We'll just trust that we don't forget 69.
I don't think we'll forget.
Okay. What should we put for birthday? What's your birthday?
August 15th, 1986, and it hurts my feelings that you don't know already.
What month is August?
The 8th.
8th?
You're a scientist. I know November is the 11th off the top of my head. No, February is the 2nd.
8/15. Did you say 1986?
Yes.
Oh, that's depressing. Note to listeners, Jason feels depressed about his age. Walker's in the prime of his life.
If you were a woman, though, you would just be entering your sexual prime now. Or your
That's totally true.
So, note to listeners, 33-year-old ladies is where it's at.
Note to listeners.
Are we going to... Wait, what's the noise for that, too?
It's like a... We should choose like a... Whoa, and then just the voice during the note is heavily reverbed and compressed. Okay, and... Jaywalking Podcast is up and running. So, listeners, if you want to give us feedback... Or if there's a trivia question that week, or we're asking for new topics, you know, whatever. You can write us at jaywalkingpodcast@gmail.com. Oh, my.
my God, can you believe that password discussion?
I know.
I forgot all about that. Racy.
Do you think that girl that you performed the 69 with is listening?
Man, funnily enough, she recently, so this was a life thing that happened that I could maybe tell you. This is one of my, well, so I don't want to reveal it just in case one of the listeners knows who it is, but it's a person from my past from a long, long time ago now, and who recently did one of those out of the, well, who it definitely was like, end of things was like way less than ideal, and I kind of was like very sad for a long time, but in this case, and, you know, everything else equal, like, I was kind of definitely the more upset. I was definitely also the one that was more wronged by almost anyone's interpretation. But if Paul A. wants to write or call in and talk about that, then he's welcome to. But bottom line is, she pulled one of these Facebook friend things out of nowhere. You know, years of no contact and then friend request. And I did this kind of long... did I friend this person? I kind of don't care. I remember being really upset, but I was also like, you know, they were a big part of my life. And then ultimately friended them. A couple weeks go by, then get a letter, get a type of like, hey, how's it going, buckaroo? But definitely with a kind of a penitent or are you going to write me back or just dismiss this out of hand type of thing. But it's like I already friended her. So now I'm in the kind of contemplative for do I write her back type of things.
Oh, what's you're that? In that now?
Yeah. Maybe the listeners could write in and tell me their opinion on...
With maybe, this should we give out her email address and people could write in on your behalf? Like, why did you hurt Jason?
that would actually be awesome.
Well, because then you could sort of show her, look, you know, it's great that you feel bad, but I have my own thing now.
Right. And there's a community of people that love me.
You know what, without really knowing the details of this situation, other than that you guys at one point at least performed oral sex on each other, I think that if you decided to friend her, then you should write her back just because do you really want to friend anyone on Facebook that you don't want to have any sort of communication with?
Right, it's like I already accepted the friend request.
Right, but not because of out of obligation, but it's just like I, you know, have definitely turned down a few friend requests, and there's always that awkward thing of, oh, if I see them, which is probably arrogant to think that anyone's going to remember that, but yeah. Oh, if I see them, are they going to remember that I didn't approve them on Facebook, and it's going to be awkward? But it's like I usually turn those down on the grounds of, we're not going to start a correspondence with each other. Not that I communicate directly with everybody I'm Facebook friends with, but I definitely, you know, everyone that's on there, I know who they are at least, and at least get some amusement out of what they're posting or have had enough real life interactions with them to warrant that we, you know, stay connected in this cyberspace way. I guess the point I'm making is, does technology make relationships better or worse?
That's an excellent decision,
listeners.
Yeah, tune in after the break for another episode of The View with Jason and Walker.
Yeah, I mean, are we...
does technology make our relationships better or worse?
Are we... Oh, Dot just walked by and said we sound like an episode of Sex and the City.
Right.
Which is true. That is sort of how in the middle of every episode there's the shot of her laptop and then the words being typed out and it says, are men like technology?
Right. Like some weak metaphor, banal question about something.
Right. I've always wondered if her friends who were being mentioned by name in the column are like, quit writing about my sex
life. I'm wondering if it's like, are clickety clack click click thing I notice click 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 interesting question or interesting existential question click 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 cut to buying $800 shoes. I'm like, you, any like wisdom you purported to have 30 seconds ago is instantly like erased from whatever I credited you with when you're just like so wrapped up with every goddamn thing you look like.
That might be a fun question for the listeners, is You know, out of the Sex and the City ladies, who would you categorize me and Jason as? I mean,
wow, that's a great question.
There's Carrie Bradshaw is the, she's supposed to be the every woman, but she's terrible. So I think that's rude to women. But she's, so let's say she's
right,
the,
right.
She's the every woman. Charlotte is vapid.
Right.
Samantha is a slut.
Right.
A common strumpet, if you will.
Right.
I've been really into that word and really wanting to use it.
Right. Nice work.
Miranda is, what, she's funny. I like her. I want to be Miranda.
No way. She's like a shrew. She's just like, she's humorless and like.
No. She's the only likable character on the show.
What?
Dude.
No way.
She's the redhead.
She's totally prude. She's like.
She's a little uptight, but she's. Yeah. She's okay in my book.
Here's an interesting thing for me. Like, I definitely. If this is a different question altogether, but like, which one would you pick? You know, this is kind of a. It's.
Wait, hold on. Is this a wood pit?
I mean,
could you introduce it real quick?
Let's go special. This is a special Sex in the City episode. Sex in the City episode.
Topical Sex in the City.
Topical, right. One of that series ended like 4 years ago.
But you got to just say real quick the wood pin because I'm going to throw all that reverb on there.
Okay. Well, let's get that whole high drum comp in there. Oh, so that's... here comes another episode of Wood Pin. Faded into 2 minutes of drums. And then Walker, which Sex in the City girl would you pin?
I would have to say.
All right. This is obvious to me, by the way.
Yes, me too. I would bet we're on the same one. I want to say who it isn't first.
Okay. Yeah, interesting.
Okay. First of all, it's going to come as no surprise to the ladies and the fellas out there. No one on earth would pit Sarah Jessica Parker.
Somebody would.
Okay. Well, Matthew Broderick supposedly would.
Right.
But no one else.
And I'm down with Matthew Broderick, by the way.
Oh, me too. I like him. He was in Ferris Bueller.
Plus, I like Sarah Jessica Parker in L.A. Story.
Okay. I just find her very, and it's maybe because I can't separate the character of Carrie Bradshaw from her, but I do find the jaggedness of her facial features very unappealing. Right, and it really bugs me how these like men are like falling all over themselves around her on the show.
Right.
So I would not pin her.
So for me, her face in general wouldn't be a deal breaker, but I see where you're coming from. I think she's got a unique look.
Well, she's also like all like, she looks like her ribs are all showing and stuff, and it's like
she is a little gaunt.
Wawa don't play that.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So also may come as a surprise. Would
no to listeners. Wawa is a word for Walker.
Yeah, just in case you missed that. Sometimes I call myself that.
Right.
When I'm feeling sassy.
Right. No to listeners. Walker's family employs a lot of baby talk around him.
No. Okay.
I'm gonna go into that right now. Maybe later. But
also, it may come as a surprise to you. There is Jason. I am a man of the 21st century.
Sure.
I see nothing crude or classless about a woman overtly displaying and talking about her sexuality.
Me neither, actually.
However, I would have to say I would not pin Samantha on the grounds that it's like she's just gross. Like it's like I don't know dudes that can't change the set, like every single thing they talk about on that show, she relates back to Dick,
right.
And it's gross.
Right. She's obliterated any other identity.
Right, she's taken the sexiness out of sex by just making it like as banal as talking about the weather.
Right.
Miranda, as I said, I like her. I'm not saying I would not pit her.
Right,
but for the sake of this conversation, I would say that I would have to pid the vapid soulless and empty vessel that is Charlotte.
Right.
Because
right.
she's hot.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we were 100% on the same page. And I think the interesting thing for me is that she's the one that I have the most contempt for. And it's not even just like, oh, you're vapid, but like genuine contempt at the kind of anything they put in there where I'm think where it's intentionally like they're kind of like, she's a New York wasp or whatever, because everything's got to be about like on top of the New York stereotypes, they got to just pile more New York stereotypes where she's like, well, this is a character that exists in New York. I'm just like, ugh, like my, the actual bile, like at her, like naivety and like, just like that sickening, like wholesomeness. Like I've got nothing but contempt for her actually, but of course, and this is something that I say every once in a while about celebrities. I would pit her, but to my credit, I would not call her the next day.
Nice. So that would be more of a pit it and quit it situation.
Right. But the funny thing to me is when I say something like that, by any analysis, you're making it clear that you're more horrible. If anything, that's more horrible. But in this particular moral universe, you've alleviated yourself on some moral responsibility by saying, well, I pit her, but to my credit, I wouldn't call her the next day.
Well, I just also like these scenarios where you're comparing celebrities and turning down sex with some of them, but, you know, like deciding others are worth it. They're worth my time.
Right.
But so that's sort of like a hate pit situation.
I don't know if it's a hate pit.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this has been another thrilling segment of Wood Pit.
I'm definitely excited to hear which Sex and the City characters listeners think either of us are.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And listeners, don't think you got to go with one. You could say Walker's 30%, Miranda, 70% Samantha. Like,
if we're going to do that, we could just probably take like an odd like quiz.
Go with combos like Walker's a Hufflepuff, 30%. Miranda, 60% Samantha, 10% Chief from BSG. Just threw it in there.
Whoa. I know that we like to stay topical on Jaywalking.
Sure. We're nothing if not topical. I mean, like, we just dedicated 10 minutes of a podcast to Sex and the Fucking City.
Well, on that,
we dedicated another 10 minutes to the existence of Twitter.
Yes.
Twitter has literally already caused two revolutions, and we're like,
wait. How many have we made enough Charlie Sheen references yet?
Say that again.
Have we made an adequate amount of Charlie Sheen references in this episode?
Oh, God, not nearly enough.
Yeah, we should probably make a few more.
Right.
Rebecca Black. Remember that, guys? Remember? No, but in the spirit of staying topical,
sure.
I want to talk about these Harry Potter books that seem to be taking not just their native country of England, not right. just our home of America, but the world
right.
by storm. Now, look, I don't know if the listeners, have you read the Harry Potter books, Jason?
I haven't, and I'm in a very precarious situation right now where I haven't seen any of the movies, so part of me wants to just get through all the books, get through all the movies before the final thing comes out, and then I could watch them all and be current, you know, and watch the new and then the theaters.
Sure.
But part of me says that's just a major time suck.
Well, I started reading them in December, and I'm about two-thirds away from, or I'm about two-thirds through book 7 now.
Mm-hmm.
I am not much of a reader.
Sure.
I have torn through these books. Now, because you haven't read them, and I don't know if our listeners have read them. I don't know if they've heard of them. But I want to tell you guys to check these books out, because although they are written for a, you know, sort of a teenage reading level, they're great. The main thing I want to address, though, and the reason I'm bringing up Harry Potter is you know, but the listeners don't necessarily know that I am a member of the House of Hufflepuff.
Right.
And that,
so the listeners, just to be clear, like, Walker and I have both taken the online test, which determines whose house you're in. Dot correctly predicted both of our houses before the online test did. So that, as we say in my biz, increases the reliability of the measurement. and Walker is in Hufflepuff. Myself, I'm in Ravenclaw. No judgment, but there's judgment.
Yes. And the judgment on Hufflepuff is the harshest of all. The houses, as some of you know, are Gryffindor, Slytherin, Ravenclaw, and Hufflepuff. Gryffindor. Right.
Knowing zero out of the books, let me just rank the houses correctly. Literally rank them in order from best to worst. Gryffindor, yeah, I'm going to go with this. But wait, Harry's Gryffindor, huh?
Yeah.
Harry's Ravenclaw.
He's Gryffindor.
If I didn't know anything, I would rank it like this. Gryffindor, Ravenclaw, Slytherin, parentheses, all the bad wizards will come from here. Hufflepuff.
Well,
right.
That's how it's been spun. Yes.
Right. Right.
The thing is Gryffindor is the brave, Ravenclaw are the smart,
right.
Slytherin are evil. Like, they're literally the evil house, which seems really – to me, as soon as the sorting hat yells, Slytherin, what they should do is cart that kid out and execute them, because it's just – you've just put Hitler into school, basically. Like, it's really ridiculous that they keep that house around. And Hufflepuff,
not just in a school, but you put him in a school where they teach you to manipulate magic.
It's really ridiculous. And Hufflepuff, according to the book, The Sorting Hat Song, it literally describes attributes of the other three houses and then says, Hufflepuff took the rest. And also, the other thing is that their dwellings totally determine what they're going to be, too. The Ravenclaws and the Gryffindors are in towers. Slytherin is in a dungeon, the Slytherin house, that's under the lake.
Right.
And then Hufflepuffs are in the basement near the kitchen.
Right. I imagine that they're – me and Dot were talking about it the other day, and we imagined that – well, certainly I imagine the Hufflepuffs as being kind of chubbier and like kind of like a what's the kid's – the German kid on Simpsons that's always running for chocolate?
I don't know his name, but I know what you're talking about.
I also imagine that they've got mittens pinned to their clothes.
The only point I'm making, and the reason I'm bringing this up, is A, to recommend the Harry Potter series to everyone.
Right.
You heard it on Jaywalking First. And B, just to say, if you haven't taken the online quiz, if you don't know what house you're in, check it out. If you are a Hufflepuff, you need to come out and come out now and come out proud. Okay? We're here.
We're awful.
I know Kelly C. is a Hufflepuff. And I'll tell you.
No, that's ridiculous.
A self-proclaimed Hufflepuff.
Okay, whatever. Kelly C. thinks a lot of things self-proclaimed. But me and Dot both find that laughable. And that should tell you something.
I think you should trust Kelly to be able to ascertain her own identity.
No, her self judgment is highly flawed.
Okay.
And I just talked to her sisters this weekend about this exact topic.
Really?
I got dim sum with them in Boston.
Wow.
Here's an interesting tip. Most of the conversation was them asking me about Kelly. So Kelly is as mysterious to her siblings as she was to us when we lived here.
Really? So you didn't you didn't get any new revelations from them?
No, they were looking to me for the revelations. How crazy is that?
Okay, here's the main thing I'm wondering about Kelly C. Where does she go? What does she do? Okay, but just Kelly C's a Hufflepuff. No, but she doesn't listen to the podcast.
The name of the German kids on The Simpsons that I was trying to think of is Uter.
She doesn't listen to the podcast.
Right.
I just wanted to put out sort of an announcement to my fellow Hufflepuffs to come forward and please ally yourself with me, because I'm taking a lot of shit from these goddamn Ravenclaws and Gryffindors.
Right, and let me make my statement, which is, don't come out with pride. If you are in Hufflepuff, that's fine. But it, to me, being proud of that is like being proud that you have type 2 diabetes. Like, that's what you have. So, you know, address it, try to keep it under control, but don't get in my face with your pride about it. Like,
I'm on a group on Facebook called Hufflepuff Pride. Let me just pull up their page. The last post was by one Walker Glenn on February 15th.
Right, so this is not a frequently posting group.
No. And also, I thought my post would get like a lot of play, but I feel like my Hufflepuff Pride, try to say Hufflepuff Pride 15 times fast.
Right.
I feel like it was a little bit too extreme for the other Hufflepuffs because I didn't get any play. Right. I wrote, Hufflepuffs unite! My wife mocks me for being a Hufflepuff constantly. She is stupid evil Slytherin. Hufflepuff pride is my whole life! No one answered. But other people are saying...
I imagine that the Hufflepuffs are not the most internet savvy of the... It's possible they just haven't read it yet since February.
Other people are saying that J.K. Rowling herself is a Hufflepuff.
What? Who says that?
Susan Manovich. Also, some people might know that Hufflepuffs are particularly good finders.
That's like what a mom calls the child that's like not as good at the other children as at anything. And they're like, oh, you know, Jimmy's a good finder.
You know, okay, guys, you know you're out there. I know you're out there. This is the new It Gets Better campaign. Not to mock the very real issues of the gay community. But they've had their moment in the sun, and I think it's time that we talk about the Hufflepuffs. So if you are a Hufflepuff, please email me at jaywalkingpodcast@gmail.com. Can you read the email from Jay Rimmler that we got?
Oh, yeah, but we actually got it from F. Husband.
Okay, so wait. So two things. First, we should plug the...
Oh, there's a lot of stuff we got to plug, too. Yeah, so Future Husband is amazing, amazing comic zine produced here in Berkeley and circulated here in Berkeley. But if you wrote an email, you might be able to get maybe even signed copy. I don't know. But it's lucky. Amazing. It's amazing zine. The title itself is a ref. You send in... By the way, nobody's sending in any answers on any of our refs.
Yeah, that's a good... And people aren't sending in answers to our questions.
Yeah, yeah.
They're sending in more questions.
Yeah, or they just send in comments like, we think it should be like this.
I think it's... Future Husband, though, is a humor zine by Jesse Rimmler. He's a good friend of mine, an acquaintance of Jason's.
Jason, oh, that's a laugh.
Jason
that's a laugh.
Is sort of more of a fan... Sort of knows his band, knows his zine, but close personal Jesse friend of mine, and if you just write him an email, I'll send you one.
Yeah, I consider Jesse to be basically blood relative of mine.
Jason's sort of like, you know how whenever somebody does something creative and sort of starts getting a little fame, blowing up for it, all these other sort of... hangers-ons, if you will, sort of come out of the woodwork and want a piece of the pie. This Jason is one of those people lining up for Jesse's pie.
Here's an interesting story to the listeners to get a sense about that. Jesse, Jay Rimmler, had his kidneys attacked by a viral infection that caused one of them to shut down entirely. Me and Walker both were matches. Walker... waffled on the donation. Jesse's actually walking around with one of my kidneys in his body. Walker was also a match, and they actually said it would be safer for Walker to donate because of, you know, some other factors, which I'm not sure about. They said it was unsafe for me. I said, I'm not going to waffle on this. He needs a kidney now. This is my brother you're talking about. This is my brother, Jay Rimmler. give him my kidney.
And it actually, Walker though, the one aside to that story is that the only reason that I could not give Jesse my kidney is because I had already given him the left chamber of my heart. So they said it would be too dangerous for you to give any more of your organ. And I said, give him my kidney or give him my brain or something. Save him. And they said, you've done enough. And then I said, no. And they had to actually give me a sedative just to get me out of the hospital. And guess what? I was still kicking and screaming the whole way.
Right. Listeners, okay, you make your own decisions about this. But like,
you make the call.
All asides aside, let me get to the email. The email says, dear Messrs. Glenn and Vitlasil, your parentheses admittedly delightful, close parentheses, podcast is on notice. We have lawyers and will use them if necessary. Sincerely, Jay Leno, Kanye West, Jesse Rimmler, and Brian Wilson. P.S. The four of us hang out and play on a lacrosse team on the weekends.
So this may be the last jaywalking because, as we have feared, we are getting sued by all the people whose copyrighted content we keep using.
Right, but they can't stop us.
Before we end, I think the last song that we closed out with was one of mine, so it's going to be you this time. Do you, any chance, know what we might be playing for the listeners at the end to introduce
it? I'm not sure. What do you think the... What do you think the attitude of this podcast is? Kind of like, is this going to be kind of...
Do you have any songs about Sex and the City or Harry Potter?
I don't think so. It could be one of my favorite works of art I've ever been involved in, which is a song called Fathead from Hybridus Genesis, again, one of my old bands, and that's one of the songs that I wrote. But of course, Tony and Chris's involvement made it entirely different. So this song is called Fathead. This was also from Hybridus Genesis, where I was the drummer. And this one I also sing, if you can call it that. It's actually kind of a screeching. And it's about the odd phenomenon that we as all humans have to deal with, the strangeness of being a machine but being conscious of things and feeling things. And like I always say, the only things worth writing songs about are consciousness and girls.
I had no idea you always say that, but I'm a huge fan of that.
The greatest mystery, and girls are the greatest thing. So, every song I wrote was either about consciousness or girls.
So, what if you're a conscious girl?
Oh, I don't even know what you would do.
Oh my God, kill me now. Should we sign off?
I think so. I think that's all I got.
I think this is a good jaywalk.
I'm going to resubmit the feed burn to iTunes, so hopefully one of the complaints I heard, like two big complaints are that you can't leave the podcast and come back to the same spot because of the way that we got it set up, and you don't get the 30-second rewind, which my friend Karthik asked for.
Again, though, listeners, this is meant to be listened to straight through. This is not like, this is not, there's no intermission. This isn't Gone with the Wind, okay? This is Malcolm X or Schindler's List. You sit down and you absorb this shit, and then you walk away and ruminate.
Right. I don't put on Kid A, and then I don't even put on OK Cupid and skip over Fit or Happier because that's how I feel they meant for me to hear it.
Right. Well, I mean, I think we can all agree that OK Computer was the last great example of the album format, really. I mean, at least that's what I read in 33 1/3. That's what the hip people said.
Right. Well, I think that's pretty good to sign off. I think, next, and we got a bi-weekly schedule. Hopefully in a couple of weeks we'll get something new out, and it can include some more news. I feel like this was mostly whatever.
Getting the listeners back up to speed. Your favorite features will be back. We're still going to rock you with some City Mouse, Country Mouse, little Kardashian Corner.
Might introduce some games. But, you know, definitely please write in about refs and just write in about other stuff than just, I don't know.
Write in with suggestions for games that we could play on air, actually, too, because that's something we'd really like to get going.
Just write in, you jagoff.
Yeah, sir. Well, you heard how much we went through to create that email address. You heard the first-hand evidence.
Right. We got a bonusode coming at you. And like we said, too, once we average 100 listeners per, you're going to start getting some merch. First merch idea we heard is the Wood Pid t-shirt. And I think it says, I would pid Jason and Walker on front. On the back, there's like our silhouette or something. I don't know. Printed on a fine
our wieners.
Right. On the back has a silhouette of our wieners. Might take the most of the back. You're going to want to order a large. You have to order a large shirt if you even want to get the whole silhouette of my wiener.
Oh, God. Just let it go.
Just say it. Don't slam.
The sign-off, sir.
All right. What's the sign-off?
Thanks for listening, guys. And remember, if you're not jaywalking,
you're not getting you to your destination in a timely fashion.
See you next week. 2 weeks from now.
Algorithms, they teach me how to make myself again. But they don't.